We are fortunate to have the University of Pittsburgh among many great universities in our area. And one of its programs is called the Gene Team. And its purpose is to provide an inclusive atmosphere where students get to access cutting-edge biological research and also get some college prep mentoring. And the idea is to make sure that all students who want such access can have it. And we've got five students with us today that are part of the Gene Team. I cannot wait to learn more about them and about the work they're doing. I'm going to start by just asking you if you could all please introduce yourself, let us know the grade you're going into, and if there's anybody you would like to acknowledge or give a shout out to, it's up to you, but if there is somebody, this is the perfect time to do it, and we'll just go from right to left, right around the room, starting with you.
Hi, I'm Trista. I start my senior year this fall, and I want to give a shout out to my dad. He's an actor, and his actor name is Boykin Anthony.
Tell me his name again.
Boykin Anthony.
I think I've seen him. And you're going into Pittsburgh Obama?
Yes.
My name is Sedona. I'm going into my sophomore year in the fall. And I'd like to give a shout out to my mom because she was the one who told me about the program. So I wouldn't have applied if it wasn't for her.
I'm Sophie. I'm going into my junior year. And I'd like to give a shout out to my parents and my aunt Mindy for always believing in me.
I'm Jacob. I'm going into my senior year. I want to shout out our lovely program directors, Becky and Jess, for all the work they do for us.
I'm Aiden. I'd like to shout out my parents for always supporting me and my biology teacher for letting me know that this program exists.
Excellent. And Aiden, you're at SciTech, Pittsburgh
Yes.
Public Schools. And
I'm going into my sophomore year.
And your sophomore year. And Jacob, you're at Pittsburgh Kappa. So I guess, have the five of you all been working together as part of this program? So you're working on the same, are you working on the same projects or doing, I guess, who can tell me a little bit about how the program's structured and what you've been up to so far?
So there's 15 of us in the program in total. And of the 15 of us, we've been split into five separate groups. And within each group, there's three people. So all 15 of us are working on the same, like, big picture project. But in our groups, we've been split down, and we're doing a little bit more specific work. So, like, maybe, like, a specific part of an experiment, or, like, all of us are doing a different part of our final presentation. So it's, like, we're all working to the same big goal, but, like, we're doing, like, tiny little chunks of it.
Is anybody working with Sedona that's here today?
I'm working with Sedona.
Can you two talk a little bit about the specific project that you're working on?
So our project is to study how the immune system of a sponge works in order to better understand how the immune system has evolved over time and how animals recognize friend from foe.
Interesting. So the sponge, is that considered sort of a lower form of evolution, I guess? So you'd be comparing what it offers in terms of its systems to what might be offered in higher level animals?
Kinda. I mean, we're not really comparing. We're just studying the sponge immune system.
And by the way, you all need to know that while I have a great science and engineering background, the kinds of areas you are studying were the kind that I found the hardest to grasp and understanding anything related and understand things related to biology. We're in biomedical type areas were always really hard for me. Do you want to add anything, Sedona, about the work you're doing? Immune systems and their evolution by studying the sponge. Other aspects of that?
Yeah, so we're looking specifically at the sponge because when you're looking at how immunity has evolved over time, sponges are kind of the best of both worlds. They're less complicated than some organisms, and they're more complicated than others. And they're also animals, which some people don't know. So they're a really good basis picture to look for when we're studying the picture of immunity, I would say.
Very cool. Do the people who are not part of that project, do you have any questions that you might like to ask Aiden and Sedona about the work they're doing?
Well, we all do like the same experiment, all the sponges, but sometimes we'll get like a different type of sponge to compare between like our lab groups to see if the different types of sponge has different outcomes. So it's not as though we're doing different experiments at each group. We're doing the same experiment, but just with different alterations to it.
I see. So you'll find out if there might be variability between the different sponges. Anything you two might like to add?
Yeah, it's just that we all do the same experiments. We have the same goal. Sometimes just different variables are given to us so we can see how things would vary between, say, species or even species of bacteria.
That's good, and I would imagine that's how a research group works typically. As a team, you are doing these experiments so you can corroborate each other's results or show variability across them. Jacob?
Just to add to that, it's really helpful to have like 14 other people, even though you're just in a three-person group, that you can like count on if you need help or if you don't understand something. And it should have, as you said, like variability in the results we get. I'll also add that like the groups like work a lot like between each other. Like some there we have like usually two groups at a table. So two groups will be doing the same thing while another table is doing something else.
Now, has the sponge work you've done so far had any immediate results or anything that you've been able to conclude? It seems to me that would be a long process.
It's a fairly long process. I mean, it involves like feeding sponges like bacteria because they eat bacteria sponges. So it's a lot of waiting before you get some results. But the results we have gotten so far is that that there's like in a higher concentration of bacteria or LPSs, which are like bacterial markers, like they're pieces of a bacteria, and in the higher concentrations, the sponge does not fare well, especially when you just let it sit.
So they feed on bacteria, but if too much bacteria is in their environment, it's not good.
Yeah.
Is that interesting? Have you had to deliberately overfeed or allow a sponge? I see some nodding heads. That's got to be a little hard to do, but that's in the name of science, I guess. How do you do that, and what do you try to observe when you do it?
To feed them, we basically just submerge them in the bacteria, like in a dish. And since they feed on bacteria, it's basically just to see like which bacteria they classify as food or they trigger their like immune system response to the bad bacteria. So how we set it up is what we'll do, we'll take the bacteria in two different dishes and leave one on there to see, like, over time, that over
overfeeding them the bacteria, and then the other dish will feed them it but remove the bacteria after to see the difference between it being overfed and then just fed and taken out.
So it's condition and response. You expose these sponges to different conditions and take notes. How long does it take to be able to know how the sponge responded?
So for our experiment, we only waited a day for, we had two dishes which had sponges in them, and we put our bacteria that we were using, or bacterial response things, we put them in to the sponge dishes, and for one, we only left it in for an hour, and the other one, we left it in for a little bit more than 24 hours, and we were able to see results for each one of those different time points. And from those results, we were able to draw like a major conclusion that sponges aren't able to handle large concentrations of bacteria for a longer period of time.
I'm curious, have any of you done anything like this before?
No, I have not done anything like this before.
And when it was explained to you what this experiment was and what it was going to yield, did any of you have any doubts? I would have doubts. I'd be saying, yeah, right. I'm curious.
Well, the first time we were introduced to the project was our interview several months before the project. So we actually didn't know what we were going to do, but we were asked a question. I believe we were basically given, how would you do an experiment to find this? And like whenever we got into the program, we learned like a lot of us like answered similar to what we did, and that we would have like a lot of like variability when like we tested multiple species of sponges and affected them with multiple bacteria. So we had like some idea of what was going on.
Yeah, I guess you knew what you were what you were getting into, to be sure. You looked like you were gonna add something.
Yeah, the question on the Zoom call, it had to do with like how would you, it was basically like foreshadowing what we were gonna do, but I didn't know at the time. I also didn't know that sponges were animal cells. So like answering the question, I kind of just answered it like broadly, because the question was like, how would you test sponges in different environments? So I just answered it broadly, not knowing that that was really what we were going to be doing.
Now, the program is still going on, right? You've still got some time left. Are there other things that you've already done that you would like to talk about? If not, I'm curious what's next.
Well, I'd like to just say that like what we've been doing has been really cool for me. And, you know, it feels good to just get out and do this. But, I mean, some results I'd like to talk about were, like, we did an experiment. Our first experiment was on how sponges feed on a specific type of bacteria called E. coli. And what we did for that is we... first, we let the gemmules, which are like sponge, like eggs, kind of, hatch. And then we fed them, E. coli into their dish. And then we waited. And then we used a high-tech microscope to look at their different, like, to look at how they fed on the bacteria.
And what did you see?
Well, we saw that,
and this is so new, you're probably still documenting your findings. Anybody want to jump in?
Yeah, so the way we were able to actually visualize the sponge feeding process is we used these certain type of dyes or stains. One was called phalloidin, and we used this to stain the cytoskeleton, which is kind of like what holds the sponge cells together. We used this phalloidin to dye the cytoskeleton green. We used this thing called a DAPI, which dyed the DNA of the sponge cells blue. And then The specific E. coli that we used is called M. cherry E. coli, which means that it is supposed to glow red under fluorescent light. So when looking under the high-tech microscope, we were able to see all these colors, the red, the green, and the blue. And by looking at these colors, we were able to like draw conclusions based on where the red, which was the bacteria, was in the sponge and like kind of how that like moved around the sponge.
So it's like Aiden got us started being able to use this particular E. coli. You can get a better sense of the structure when you add the dyes that you just mentioned, Sedona, and I think that Jacob was going to add something too.
Yeah, as Sedona started saying, like the ultimate result of that is you have like a really vibrant image with like red and green and blue, and you could very specifically see. For the experiment, we had three basically to set it up. Before you put it in the microscope, you had to basically add a chemical to it, which almost like froze it in time. So we had multiple markers where we would let the sponge feed for 30 minutes, one for like an hour and one for a day. And you could see that like comparing 30 minutes to a day, you could see the bacteria like spread to like the whole sponge. Specifically, E. coli is like something you could see like a sponge eating in the wild. So it wasn't like actually harmful, but it was really interesting to see like that like bacteria after just like one day, it was like everywhere basically.
Let me ask Trista, anything you would like to add to the work that's been done or what might happen next?
We've done a lot of things. One of the most recent things we've done that we actually haven't got any results back for, we were able to like basically test the bacteria in the sponges and to see like what actually was the specific bacteria, like the names that are in the sponges. So we're able to test that. But in order to do that, we had to send it off to another lab, and we're still waiting for those results back. But that was like my favorite thing that we've done. Like we've done a lot of cool things, and this opportunity, like I'm just glad for it, because when I get older, I want to be in the lab. So this just really let me see what it was like in the lab.
What made this something that is one of your favorite things that you did?
Well, the whole process of it before we send it off to the lab is a really long process. But basically, we have to take the sponge bacteria and process it. And then we have to like make this gel that you put the bacteria into, and then it shows up inside the gel. Like, that's how you see if there's bacteria inside the gel. And making the gel, it's just super fun. Like, I like processes that are really, like, specific and like...
So there's a lot of consistency and really a recipe for how you do that to get it exactly right. I wanted to ask Sophie, too, any reflections on what you've done so far, what you've liked, how it's maybe inspired you?
I just like all the hands-on that we do, and, like, pretty much everything we've done here is completely new. So, like, I just think it's so unique that I've learned, like, a whole new skill set of lab techniques in the 3 weeks that I've been here. There's just so much that I like never could have imagined I would be doing, especially during my summer. I just think it's a very unique opportunity.
What are some of those techniques?
There's a lot of like extremely like high tech and like complex machines that we use, such as PCR, which stands for polymerase chain reaction. It's a machine that we can use to process DNA. There's even just like micropipetting that we use, that just like you can pipette such small amounts.
Wow.
Just so many things that I had no clue was even done.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. We just, we have a good amount of time left. Trista was talking about how this is supporting what she would like to do when she gets older. I have two questions. Before we get a little more personal, how might this research be extended to other animals or even to humans. Have you talked much about that as part of the work you're doing?
So just yesterday, all five groups were able to showcase their results for our experiment where we were treating sponges with different concentrations of bacteria to see how their immune system would respond to that. And from that, we kind of like drew the conclusion that the way sponges respond to like an overwhelming amount of bacteria is they'll just kind of like get rid of any cells that have been infected, or like just kind of like get rid of like certain sections of them and like kind of like disconnect it from themselves, almost like if it's exploding itself up. And in some cases, like even in humans, like due to like certain bacteria, like it causes the human immune system to be harmful to the human. And like, so that's like a connection that you can make from sponges to humans, which would be helpful to like continue research on in the future.
I'd like to add on to what Sedona said. And I'd like to say that the reason why we can extend, the reason why we know like and can extend this is because in sponges, they use a lot of similar communicators, which are like cell communication devices. So in our tests, when a sponge was exposed to high concentrations of bacterial parts, what seemed to happen in extension to that is that the immune system of the sponge, it went completely haywire because there's just so many signals all going on at once. And so the sponge reacted way more than it actually needed to. It thought it was in a huge amount of danger when it was actually in none, because it doesn't even allow bacteria. So the sponge really took a lot of damage, and it really helps us show how immune systems can do damage to a host. Like in a lot of human diseases, what ends up killing a human is our own immune system goes completely haywire and causes a ton of tissue death.
Yet the immune system is actually attacking your body rather than defending it. It's fascinating. Anybody else want to add about some of the ways that the research you're doing and other research being done in research groups like the Gene Team will have applications?
Well, so we're just one part of like a whole bigger project. Scott, I forget which state he's in. He's not here, but yeah, shout out to Scott. So he's like kind of, there's so many people involved in it. Like he studies other types of sponges and he basically sent them down to us to study and verify like the processes and all the protocols and experiments that we do on the sponges. And it's just a part of a whole bigger project to just study them and figure out immune systems to add on to our knowledge of immunity evolution.
It's amazing to be part of something that big and to know that the work you're doing truly matters. You know, it's so important. We were talking about how this might inspire you to do something when you're older. Why don't we start with Aiden and work our way around? Aiden, if you now you're 15, going into 10th grade.
Yeah, correct.
At SciTech, so you've got some time left. But have you? You all have a lot of time, but have you thought about what you might like to do, or is this inspiring you to go in a certain direction?
Well, since I've been young, I've always been really interested in the immune system and pathogens, which are like bad, like viruses and bacteria. And this work here has really like solidified my love for that. I mean, it's awesome to be able to see up close like how a sponge reacts to bacteria. And I mean, the work we're doing is just so cool. And I mean, it's definitely been one of my interests for a long time to go into like the biology field of studies. So, I mean, it's just so awesome. It's hard to put into words.
Understood. Thank you. Let's go and talk to Jacob, who is about to be a senior at Pittsburgh Kappa.
Yeah, I've definitely been interested and I'm definitely interested in a STEM field for the future. Going into Gene Team, biology wasn't my strong suit, definitely, but I've learned so much, and it's really turned me on to, like, how cool, like, biology is and how much work is being done there and, like, what opportunities there are in it.
I wish I'd had an opportunity like this. As I mentioned, I did not understand biology very well at all. It just did not compute in my head. What's your major at Kappa?
Kappa, I'm an instrumentalist who plays trumpet.
So you can do both, right, depending on what your interest ultimately be. Kappa, it's the Creative and Performing Arts High School at Pittsburgh Public Schools, but their traditional academic programs there are really full of rigor and discipline. A lot of people don't realize that. It's more than music and art. Let's turn around to Sophie now. What are you thinking about?
I just thought this was a really good opportunity, being interested in math and science. For my future, I'm thinking about dermatology. I do cosmetology as a program through my high school, so I just really love the, like, hair, skin, and nails, and I think that that's something that I could build off of that.
That's fascinating, and it could be understanding various products or even developing products of your own. And let me remind you, Sophie is 16 and is about to be a junior at Keystone Oaks. Sedona is 15 at Trinity Christian School and is about to go into 10th grade.
Yeah, so for the longest time, since I can remember, since I was a kid, I've always wanted to be a doctor. I haven't, like, really decided what kind of doctor yet, but, like, I'm leading towards, like, pediatrician. So I've always been really interested in biology and being able to learn all the science I can. And so I wanted to get more into depth in that. And so my mom told me about this program, and I was like, oh, this sounds, like, amazing. This is going to be a way for me to build up my skills, learn things that I didn't know before, and, like, put myself ahead of the game, and just, like, being able to put myself in a better position for, like, when I go to college, so that, like, I kind of already know some of the basic things already. So just, like, being able, like, to build up on things so that it can, like, help me out in the future.
Excellent. And then just as we began with Trista earlier, we're going to end with her, although you kind of mentioned Trista is 17, heading into her senior year at Pittsburgh Obama. You're thinking of lab work?
Yes. When I had first taken biology in ninth grade, I was not interested in it at all. I kind of didn't understand it. And then I took chemistry, and that's when I really started to have a love for science. And then I wanted to be, I want to be a medical laboratory scientist, like in the lab, hospital lab, running blood samples and stuff like that. So when I told my chemistry teacher that, he had told me about this program, but this was last year, so I had missed the deadline for last year. So I'm just really grateful that I was able to get into it this year, and it was just a great opportunity to see what it's like actually being in a lab, since that's what I want to do.
You all amazed me, talking to each of you. Did anybody want to say anything else that I might not have given them an opportunity to say? And I see that it was a good thing I asked that.
Well, I just wanted to finish up what I was saying, that, you know, I mean, like, for me, since I was young, I've always been a little bit, like, you know, afraid of contracting, like, a bad disease and stuff. But that, like, kind of, like, afraidness caused me to kind of study a lot into biology, and it really, like, invigorated my interest in biology. So, I mean, it was just great. I mean, like, and I encourage anyone who's, like, scared of, like, being in science and all that stuff to really, like, just give it, just explore a little bit, and, you know, you'll find that, you know science is cool, and it may be seen as maybe nerdy, but it's really awesome, and we do stuff that helps people in the world. So I mean, yeah, it's just awesome.
Thanks for adding that. Anybody else with anything I didn't give you a chance to mention. Who are the names of, it's Jess is the lab instructor, right, Jess? And Becca, I believe, is Becca also involved? Anybody else we should mention?
I just want to say it's Becky.
Oh, it's Becky. Yeah. Thank you. So it's Becky and Jess. I appreciate that. Thank you. Go ahead.
Sorry. And also, two of our collaborating lab leaders, Scott, who's from Colorado, he's been the one, giving us a lot of the protocols and providing us with, the sponges to work with. And then Tara, who is also a collaborator, but she kind of works more in the immunity field of things.
Anybody we happen to leave out, thanks to you as well. Thanks to all of you, Sophie, Sedona, Aiden, Trista, Jacob. I can't wait to see what's next for you guys. Broadcasting live. Oh, by the way, that's the Gene Team, University of Pittsburgh. And you can learn more at biology.pitt.edu or search on Gene Team, University of Pittsburgh. You'll find them there.